sure I'm not the only one who realizes that Rosh Shlomo Zirtzeit was Sunday night, not tonight. But to the best of my knowledge, I think that technically Duvdevani is part of Bayit Vegan. And Bayit Vegan, I'm not sure who the mayor is, but I'm not sure it really matters. Because in Bayit Vegan there's a tzaddik whose light shines from the 7 days of creation. In the Amshin of a Rebbe. Anybody knows anything about the Amshin of a Rebbe, you know that the Rebbe is beyond time. And seeing as the Amshin of a Rebbe was a very, very, very dear friend of Rosh Shlomo's, since Rosh Shlomo Kalbach and the Amshin of a Rebbe were dear, dear friends, so then in the jurisdiction of the tzaddik of Amshinov, there's no such thing as it was Rosh Shlomo Zirtzeit on Sunday and now it's not anymore. Thanks. Thank you, Bash. I always count on you.
Oh, that's great.
And I wasn't even thinking about it as I was just saying that. I reminded myself of a story that should shake a person to the core. You know, people are probably wondering, especially if it's not Rosh Shlomo Zirtzeit, you know, how could we take time from Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam? Vilna Gaon said that every word of Talmud Torah in his commentary to Peya, every single word of Torah is connected 613 mitzvahs. We used to do that in Shir sometimes. When it was getting last year at Night Seder, if it was getting like a little bit later, we're getting tired, we'd say, okay, how many words are left? Let's count it, multiply by 613, and we'll figure out how many mitzvahs we're about to get, and that would get us excited and get us to the end. Talmud Torah connected, cool, what are we doing? We're sitting here on the porch. We're certainly going to share words of Torah. But to take a whole night seder, to sing Nagunim together, to sit together. So I'll tell you a story from the end of Rav Shlomo's life. Maybe some of you know it. Rav Shlomo, before he left Eretz Yisrael for the last time, he went to go see his dear friend in Bayit Vegan, Amshin of Rebbe. They had a long history together. Chassidim very greatly respected Rav Shlomo. And he went to go visit the Amshin of a Rebbe, and the two of them were alone for quite some time. And I don't recall right now exactly how we know this story. But when they came out together, they were filled, both of their eyes were filled with tears. And the Maisa, which is brought down in the Svarim, is that when Rav Shlomo came out, the conversation that went on between them, I don't know if there was anyone else there, or the Amshin of a Rebbe said this story later, but Rav Shlomo apparently said to the Amshin of a Rebbe in that meeting, before his last return trip from Eretz Yisrael, he said to the Rebbe, you know, Rebbe, I'm out of Nagunim. I've used up the wellspring that Hashem gave me. Rav Shlomo liked to talk a lot about water schleppers, people who carried water for a living. And in a video that I once saw, that Rav Shlomo said that he himself is a water schlepper. He's carrying water from the Me'ah Shiloach, from Yerushalayim, to the hearts and to the souls of every single Jew. There is Nagunim. And he said to the Rebbe, you know, Rebbe, I'm out of Nagunim, I'm done. And they came out of that room together with their eyes red. And it's Yadua that either shortly after, or possibly, I don't remember the details now, either shortly thereafter, perhaps even on that trip, on that flight home, Rav Shlomo, while he was flying, had a heart attack and left the world. Nigunim are a very powerful thing. Nigunim don't take the place of Torah. Nigunim are the platform upon which all of our Torah, all of our mitzvos, all of our Avodas Hashem is built. It's not this or that. It's this together with that to create a much bigger, a much more sincere, a much deeper connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I've been waiting to do this all year with you guys. We're in Yeshiva University, so it's good to tell stories of the tzaddikim of Yeshiva University. Not directly, but the ancestor of one of the tzaddikim of Yeshiva University was a different Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, the Beis Halevi. I read this maaseh this summer. And ever since I left this Beis Medrash, this yeshiva, I was thinking a lot about this story. But yesterday and today, as I was trying to put together some thoughts, thinking about who Rav Shlomo was and what a yortzeit is, what that means, a hilula, when we come to remember the life of a tzaddik. So the story touched me in a different way. Beis Halevi spent 3 months in a town called Brody, where the tremendous Gaon and Tzaddik of Shlomo Kluger lived. Shlomo Kluger, they say, that he wrote as many Svarim as the Gematria of his name. The first letter is a Shin, guys. Mali v'gadish in Torah. And he spent 3 months studying at the feet of Rav Shlomo Kluger. At the end of the 3 months, he came to his Rebbe to take leave. And he said to his Rebbe, "Rebbe, when I got here, I had a lot of questions. I don't think he was holding by permission to believe and permission to receive. I think they were... He was beyond that. That is very chashuv. That's also very good. He said, I had a lot of questions when I came here, and Baruch Hashem, Rebbe, you were able to answer all of my questions. A lot of kashas. He said, but Rebbe, I have one kasha that remains that I know you can't answer. Shlomo Kluger said, how could you be so sure? How do you know? Don't ask me. He said, Rebbe, I know you can't answer this question. This kasha is too hard. It's too difficult. So Shlomo Kluger said, no, tell me the question. What's the question? He said, Rebbe, you can't answer this question. This kasha is too hard. He said, I know, Rebbe, you have the kasha yourself. He said, no, already, tell me the question, what's that? He said, Rebbe, the kasha that I have is kasha elai predascha. It's very hard for me to separate from you. Kasha elai predascha. It's very hard for me to leave you. Like Hashem says to Am Yisrael in Shmini Atzeres, one more day just to be together. One more opportunity to spend some time. Rebbe, kasha alai predascha. I don't want to leave you. I don't want to separate from you. So on a personal level, I don't think I have to give the parish. I think the whole inyan, at least this is what I was thinking today, I think the whole inyan, it's a strange thing to remember somebody's, the day that they left the world. It's a reminder over and over again, kasha alai predasta. Rebbe, it's very difficult that you left us. It's very difficult since you left the world. We don't know how to be kind to each other anymore. We don't know how to look at each other in the way that Rav Shlomo was looking at every single Jew. We don't know how to yearn for Mashiach the way we're yearning for Mashiach. Gemara says that the tzaddikim of Am Yisrael are called the eyes of the Jewish people. That means that when a tzaddik leaves the world, it means that we lose our vision. We lose our direction. We lose our ability to see. And so we come together and remember Kasha Alai Pridaschem and try to fill that void. Try to fill that empty space. Hamakom Yinachem Eschem. Filling the space. As Rav Meir Goldwicht once said to me, Hamakom Yinachem Eschem. Filling the space, Hamakom. Filling that void that's created when that person left the world. Yinachem Eschem. That's what gives the Nechama. That's what gives the comfort. So we come together to sing Nigunim and to talk about looking at each other in a better way and to be kinder to one another, kinder to people we don't know. And to remember what Rav Shlomo was trying to remind everybody, that Kasha Alai Pridaschem is true of your Rebbe, it's true. But Chazal said that about Hashem. Every single person, including the person who's sitting in back of the microphone, who's sitting out here on this porch, at some point in their life, and maybe right now, has a small part of them that says that by Hashem, when it comes to me, I've done so many crazy things. I've done so many things to ruin the relationship. Ino kashelo. It's not hard for Hashem to leave me. Hashem doesn't need me anymore. Hashem doesn't care about me. Chas v'shalom, it's the biggest kfira. For every single Jew, it's not just for all of Am Yisrael together, but every single Jew. Kasha Alai Pridaschem. Hashem says, it's hard for me to leave you. It's hard when you leave me. We have to believe that. We have to understand that. When a Jew makes a decision to skip a day or a tefillah, one tefillah or a day of tefillah, to miss out on an opportunity to learn another Tosfos, another Pnei Yoshua, to have Dibuk Chaverim, to sit with a friend, all those opportunities are Kasha Alav. For Hashem, those opportunities to come face to face with Him, bein Adam L'makom, bein Adam L'chaveiro, we have to know and we have to believe what Rav Shlomo was teaching the whole world, is that it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter what you look like, it doesn't matter how much you failed in your life so far. Kasha Alai Pridaschem. Hashem feels very, 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 very broken. Kivyachol. When a person leaves Him, when a person perceives or thinks that they're leaving Him. Baruch Hashem that we have such a Rebbe, and Baruch Hashem that we have a Rebbeinu Shel Olam. La 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 Shlomo, by extension of what we were just talking before, Tzav Yeshuas Yaakov, to redeem the Jewish people, means each person individually to feel like you have a chance at being redeemed and you're going to be part of that. So I like to say this whenever I get the chance. My younger brother has a teaching. But Chazal say, one of the signs of a person who's insane, a person who's crazy, it's important for halacha to know who can make a kinyan, who can get married, who can get divorced. You have to be sane to do these things. Who could do mitzvahs b'chlal? So Chazal say, to be an insane person, there are several simonim that give dead giveaway. Chazal say one of them is to not have paid. No, I'm just kidding. Chazal say that one of the things that makes a person insane, or at least gives off the impression that a person is insane, someone who likes to walk around alone at night. Okay, I'm not here to give a halacha shir. And that might be true on a literal level. But my younger brother Josh, it's good to see the names of tzaddikim. My younger brother likes to say that someone who walks around alone at night, maybe he's also talking about a person who walks around in the night of the galus without a chevra, without friends. Walk around alone at night, you have to be crazy. And galus doesn't mean a place, it does, but it also means it could be in Eretz Yisrael and it could still be in galus. Galus is a state of mind. Person goes through galus and geula all the time. Sometimes a person is in a redeemed state. Sometimes a person is in an exiled state. Exiled from himself. Exiled from Hashem. He really feels what we were saying before, eino kashelo, it's not hard for Hashem to separate from me. A person in that state who separates from friends, Kav Chomer, if he's actually outside of Eretz Yisrael, I imagine that some of you may return to the United States of America, which is outside of Eretz Yisrael, according to the last map that I checked. And you have to be crazy not to do it with friends. And a lot of what Rav Shlomo was trying to do in the world was to make the whole world, all of Am Yisrael, into one big group of friends. He wouldn't start a concert without first going and giving a hug to every single person in the crowd. So family does. It was not uncommon that if he was performing in a particular place, if he was performing in a shul or in a school, and he heard or he knew that there was somebody who wanted to be there that wasn't there, that afterwards, after he was paid for the gig, which he already gave away to some almana somewhere, I think keep any for himself, then he said, ah, there were a few people who weren't at the concert, he'd go to their houses and he'd go perform for them. That's what a friend does. That's what a person does for someone that they love. But I think it's a mistake to assume that Rav Shlomo just wanted everybody to be friends, stam, just because. There's a maaseh from the Toldos Yaakov Yosef. One time a certain Talmud Chacham came into the Beis Medrash. of the Baal Shem Tov. He was pacing back and forth, clearly very deep in thought. And the Toldos Yaakov Yosef came over to him and said to him, "Nu, Rabbi Yud, where are you from? What's your name?" He started asking him the questions. And this Jew looked at the Toldos Yaakov Yosef, one minute, hold on. 2 minutes later, he came back to him and said, "Nu, what's your name? Where are you from? Who are you?" This was going on back and forth for a few minutes until the guy finally said, "What, why do you want to know who I am? Leave me alone. I'm trying to learn. I'm trying to pay attention. I'm trying to..." So the Toldos Yaakov Yosef said to him, he said, "Well, you know, when two Jews meet each other, even if they're from different parts of the country or different parts of the world, and one asks the other, 'Who are you? What's your name? What's your deal?' So that creates a bond between the two of them. And then maybe sometime later in the future, after they separate, and many months later, maybe many years later, they see each other in some other place, some other time. And because they had asked each other the first time, 'Ah, who are you? What's your name?' And they created that bond. So when they see each other again, they'll be happy that they saw each other. There'll be a friendship there. And what's the purpose of that?" Says the Toldos Yaakov Yosef. And I honestly believe that this is what Rav Shlomo was trying to do. He says, "What will happen is that those two people will see each other, and because they'll be besimcha that they were able to see each other, each one of them, as they leave again and they depart from each other, each one will turn to Hashem and say, 'Ah, Hashem, thank you so much for letting me see Yankel again. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to see that person again.' And isn't it worthwhile," said the Toldos Yaakov Yosef, "to be able to have a little bit of praise for their Bona Shalom? That we'll be able to have a little bit of praise for Hashem." Rav Shlomo wasn't just trying to make everybody love each other, he was trying to make everybody love Hashem. And the way to do that is to see the God in everybody, see the divine in each person, so that when we love each other, when we come close to each other, we can then see each other and say, "Ah, thank you Hashem for bringing that person into my life, those people into my life." And it's good to praise Hashem.
Yeah.
Dear friend of mine, topic of friends. If I have to pick what my favorite, I know this is a crazy thing to say, but if I have to pick what my favorite niggun is, so I have a friend who unfortunately is no longer in this world. But as things go with friends, it's not a Amshin Aver Rebbe is beyond time, friendship is beyond space. So we were blessed with opportunity for several years, for many, many years, to be friends together. From the age of 8, maybe younger even. For 20 years. It's a lot of years. And we were zilcha together to play music. Their own music, to play other music. Gunam of Breslov, Gunam of Shlomo, Chaim David, Eitan Katz, Shlomo Katz. All the sweet singers of Israel. One year, this fine institution decided that it was a good idea to hire us and to put us on the back of a float which would travel down the streets of New York City during the Israeli Day Parade, and even paid us for it. And imagine that someone gives you the opportunity to go play music full blast down the streets of New York City on like the back of a pickup truck, you know, a bigger, not pickup truck, like a flatbed, and then they pay you for it. It's very nice. That's a very nice thing. And there's no question that the reason that this is my favorite niggun is that it keeps me close to this person. It speaks to a day when Mirtz Hashem will soon be together again. But also because I can't shake from my head the image of us jumping up and down on the back of this truck down New York City, singing these words, Adir Hu, Adir Hu, Yivne Beso, Rabbonu Shalom Adir, the great, powerful, almighty Rabbonu Shalom. Yivne Beso, build your house already. And we're waiting so long for Hashem to do that. So I want to tell one more story and then we'll sing it. Because even though it's been a very, very long time, and even though we feel like we've messed up a lot, so a Jew is never allowed to give up. A Jew is never, never, ever allowed to give up. So there's a maisa that's brought down in the Friedrich Rebbe's diary. Soon, another few days, I think Thursday night is going to be the yahrzeit of the Rebbe Rashab. I'm sorry, the birthday of the Rebbe Rashab. Rebbe Rashab was the fifth Rebbe of Lubavitch. One time, the Friedrich Rebbe, the sixth Lubavitch Rebbe, the father-in-law of Menachem Mendel Schneerson, the two of them, they were walking together, and Friedrich Rebbe wrote this down in his diary. So they were walking together, Rebbe Shestrol, and it was getting towards the evening time. The sun was beginning to set. And the Rebbe Rashab turned to his son, to the Friedrich Rebbe, and he said to him, "Now I want to ask you a question. Why is it that when the sun begins to set, the whole sky becomes red?" That's usually the type of question the kid asks the father, right? Like these chaperone questions, like, "So how come when the sun is setting, the whole sky turns this red color?" So Friedrich Rebbe, who was just a little boy at the time, I think he said he's 5 years old in the Maisa. He looked up at his eyes and said, "I don't know, Abba. Why? Why?" So listen to this. It's a gathering for the Yahrzeit of Rav Shlomo, so I'll tell you, open your hearts. The Rebbe Rashab said that every single morning, when the sun comes up over the horizon, the sun is davening and is saying to itself, "Today I'm going to bring Mashiach. Today I'm going to bring Mashiach. Today, Adir Hu Yivne Beso, Hashem's going to build his house. It's going to happen today. Today's the day." But then everybody knows what happens. It's the end of the day. And the sun's looking around, and he's kind of all alone in his mission at that point. And the Rebbe Rashab said to the Friedrich Rebbe, he said, "The sun and the whole world is so filled with shame. The whole world becomes so embarrassed that the sky turns red." Like when a person gets embarrassed and their face turns red. The whole sky turns red with shame. And just at that moment, when a person looks at the sky and the sky is turning red with shame, we didn't bring Mashiach yet. So comes along Yitzchak Avinu in this week's parsha. And Yitzchak goes out Lasuach Basada to go talk in the field to Hashem, to Daven Mincha, and he says, "There's still time. There's still a little bit of time left. Still bring Mashiach." Okay, so it's after Mincha time. Mashiach can come also at night. So we'll sing strong together.
Oh,
time for one more.
No light.
Yeah. We have time for
ten. Anybody who wants to go, feel free to leave. If you have time for one more. Share with you one more teaching. Some of you heard this last year. I don't mean to be deep. But you're not the same you as last year, so it's not, you didn't hear this before. When Jews get together, they talk about the Parsha. That's what they do. So there's a pasuk that says, there's a Torah from the Kedushas Levi. You know what? Hold on a second. According to Chazal, and what else do we have in this world? The mysterious Eved that runs to Rivka's Eliezer, coming to find the wife, proper wife, for Yitzchak. And hopefully we all know the Maisa. He asks Hashem, he davens, you know, I'm going to come ask somebody for a little bit of water. One of the guys in my shirt today said, what would have happened if you went over to the first girl and said, you have to have a little bit of water? And she's like, yeah, sure. I'd be like, yeah, and? Right? Because he said, if you don't ask for that camel's also, that's off. So he'd be like, yeah, forget it, you know, I'll go to get the next person. But that's not what happened. He went to Rivka and he asked, can I have a little bit of water? And she said, sure, you can have some water and I'll give your camels also. I'll give you camels also. She said, ah, this is the wife of Yitzchak. I asked her for a little water for myself. She said, for me and the camels. Beautiful. Problem is, this is what all the Mefarshim are grappling with. How did he know to go over to her first? Probably a lot of people getting water. The way that Chazal described it, it wasn't a well like one of those small little things where you have to, you know, one bucket at a time. I think Chazal, in one Medrash, Chazal described 100 steps going down to this. So it was one of these big, like by the Mishloach. So there are probably a lot of people there. How did he know to go over to Rivka? So Rashi says, Vayaretz ha'avad l'krosa, the Eved went to go greet her. The word l'krosa is actually not talking about Eliezer, it's talking about the water. That Eliezer went to go ask Rivka first because he saw that the water was always coming l'krosa, was coming and jumping up into her buckets. Was jumping up into the pails that she was trying to fill with water so that she could quench her thirst. So listen carefully. The Ramban on the spot says, you know, Rashi, that's very nice, but that doesn't really fit Vayaretz Eved L'Karosa to squeeze in that he ran to her because he saw the water was L'Karosa. It's a bit of a stretch. But it's not a stretch if you add the fact that three Pesukim later in Pasuk Chaf, it's Pasuk Yitzayin, in Pasuk Chaf, the Torah describes how when she's getting the water for Eliezer and for the Gamalim, for the camels, the Torah describes how she's being Shoev, she's drawing forth the water. And in Pasuk Yitzayin, it doesn't talk about her drawing the water, because she didn't have to put in any effort, she didn't have to put in any energy, it was just jumping up into her buckets, into the pails. By itself. Darkness. So Kedushas Levi says, Hakufakasha. Hakufakasha, I still have a question. He didn't really fix everything. Okay, so when she was getting the water for herself, the water was jumping into the pails, when she was getting the water for Eliezer, and the count says, that the water was drawn by her, with her strength, with exertion. So listen carefully. Kedushas Levi wants to know, why is it that the first time there was a big nes for the tzaddikas, and the second time there was no nes? She had to draw the water herself. And the Berditcher says that paradoxically, you might think that it would be helpful if Hashem would make it easier for her to draw the water for the camels, to make it easier to draw the water for Eliezer. That's not true. When she was taking water for herself, so Hashem said, why should tzaddikas have to struggle? Why should she have to put in energy, excess energy that she otherwise wouldn't have to? Let me make it easier for her to take the water. But when she was doing it, b'derech mitzvah, when she was drawing the water for the camels and for Eliezer, so then says the Kedushas Levi, Hashem made it that she would have to put in the extra work. Because by putting in the extra work, she would enjoy the mitzvah more. Not only she'd get more schar, she'd actually enjoy the mitzvah more. One of the big, big things that our generation needs to work on is not feeling like Torah and mitzvahs are a burden. If we could somehow make it a little easier, we could lighten the load. Then we'd be okay, then we'd be happy. It's not true. The neshama is craving interaction with Torah and mitzvahs. And it means that as Chanukah is coming, so the last thing in the world that I want to do is take away business from a Jew. So this is not what I mean. So even if you're planning on buying one of those things, buy it. But then put it to the side and go buy yourself a thing of oil, some glass cups, and some wicks. And make your own menorah like that. You know the things that they have, the pop-off tops. Those things. I can guarantee you that if you buy the oil yourself and the glass cups yourself, and this is a mashal. It's true what I'm saying, but it's a mashal for everything. If you buy the oil yourself and you buy the glass cups yourself and you make the wicks yourself, and you put the whole thing together, and you spend a half hour setting up your menorah and putting it all together and davening over your menorah. Then when you light your menorah, when you do the mitzvah of lighting the menorah, you'll get a lot more out of it. You'll enjoy it a lot more. Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't make a nace for Rivka when she was drawing water for the camels, because Hashem understood that paradoxically, if you want to enjoy a life of Torah and mitzvahs, you have to invest in it. You have to put in energy, you have to put in work. That's what we're here to do in this world. That's what our Rebbeim, the tzaddikim of the past and the tzaddikim of the present, are trying to get us to understand. That it's not about having done the mitzvah so that I can check it off, but it's about looking forward to doing the mitzvah, looking forward to putting in the effort and the energy in the mitzvah. When we study Torah, the Torah that we study is on the level of I can't live without this. When I do mitzvahs, it's on the level of I can't live without this. How can I get more of it in my life, not less? So we'll sing one more niggun from Shlomo. Yeah.
Yishkoich.